Good morning, Maranatha. I started to say Happy Easter, but I really would rather say blessed, holy, joyous, happy, indeed, Resurrection Morning. We're here to celebrate with you this Resurrection Morning. This will be, I think, my 49th Resurrection Sunday that I've celebrated with our congregation right here in Tampa, Florida, USA, where this broadcast originates. But wherever you are hearing this broadcast today, this Sunday morning sermon on Resurrection Sunday, thank you for coming to our website today. Thank all the, and I'm going to be especially thankful to all the families that have contacted us, people that have contacted us. Let us know that this broadcast has been and is continuing to be a blessing to you. That's the only purpose we have. We may not meet some of you, many of you, most of you, till we get to heaven. But I thank God that right now we can gather together around the Word of God and celebrate the greatest event in human history, the greatest event in biblical history and theology. Hallelujah. Cardinal truth in Scripture, a historic truth in time, and a personal truth in experience. The resurrection of Jesus, our living hope. It's the title of our sermon today. So we pray that you will be blessed as we get in the Word of God, and as I say so many times, as we get the Word of God in us today, and we get what God has for us from His Word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. This holy, wonderful resurrection morning message. Jesus, our living hope, as the result of the resurrection. Actually, the resurrection of Jesus, our living hope. Look what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, 3, 4, and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. I want to stop just a moment, because it's going to be hard to stop once we get going. I'm excited about what God has done for us in and through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm excited about the future. Not down here. It's bleak, fulfilling the Scripture of end time situations upon the earth and circumstances upon the earth, men's hearts failing them for fear and looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. Controversially, as Christians, we're not just, oh, we see it, we understand it, but we see it through the lens of the soon coming of Jesus. So instead of just being terrified and stupefied and absolutely gripped by terror and hopelessness because of helplessness about what we see already coming, this bleak, bleak future that we see. I'm not just talking about the global events and the weather and the warming and all of those different things. I'm talking about the circumstances that are occurring in all the nations of the world, the unrest, the wars, the rumors of wars, the senseless killings of innocent people right here in America. One time known as a Christian nation, one time known as a God-fearing or God-reverencing nation. But alas, those days are long gone, and it's causing the future to be very, very bleak. But instead of looking at what's coming upon the earth through the lens of the soon coming of Jesus, we're looking concerning who is coming back to the earth and who He's coming for. And until He comes, realizing that we, because of His resurrection, we have inherited a kingdom, and that kingdom is in us, and we are in that kingdom. Praise God, we're heirs of the kingdom. And because the kingdom is in us, He is keeping us through His very power. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us, in and through and by the Holy Spirit today. I'm so glad to be a Christian. I'm so glad to have this living hope as we celebrate the reason for that hope, nothing less than the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. Jesus, our living hope. Let's read it together again. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope. I know it says lively, King James. It would be translated living. That's what this lively means. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I love the Gaither song, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, life is worth the living just because He lives today. Glory to God. Amen. And the result of His resurrection and His everlasting life that He grants to us as He first claims it and experiences it and demonstrates it at the resurrection. Hallelujah. It becomes unto us an inheritance. We have been brought through the lively hope of the resurrection to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The reason we have hope here is because we know what is waiting there. Listen, verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Glory to the Lord. Listen, friend of mine, today as a Christian, we are heirs of an eternal inheritance. And because He lives, we indeed can face whatever tomorrow brings. Because He lives. The Bible speaks of Jesus as a high priest in our behalf who ever lives to make intercession for us. And it says that is the reason we have hope here. Amen. That He is able to save them to the uttermost, seeing that He ever lives to make intercession for them. Praise God. Listen, the first word here that He uses as a result of that is the word incorruptible. It could also be translated indestructible. And I like indestructible. I like the armor of God presented as invincible armor. Praise God that in spite of the fiery darts of the wicked, the shield of faith quenches them. The mighty sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, making us a spiritual warrior that is invincible in battle because we have on God's own armor. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so many messages in this message of the resurrection that makes all of this possible today. And this first word Peter uses, the inheritance we have, because of the living hope we have, because Jesus is raised from the dead, this inheritance is incorruptible. Could also be translated, and I love this one, indestructible. Daniel used this very same word in the Hebrew that Peter was using when he prophesied of the kingdom that would be established by the Messiah. And he said, and I quote, "And in those days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." Somebody say, indestructible. Glory to God. A kingdom that shall never be destroyed in the book of Daniel. Listen, in a similar context, Daniel again uses this same word. I think that was Daniel 2, verse 44. Look here at Daniel chapter 7 and verse 14. He used this same word then, and I'm quoting, "to him," literally in quotation marks, "the Messiah, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion," indestructible, you see, "which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is the one that shall not be destroyed." My son, Robert Allen, he's with the Lord. He beat me to heaven, but we used to sing this. My wife and my son, we used to sing this song about Daniel and this particular scripture in the book of Daniel. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. I always felt a special sense of God's eternal, powerful kingdom that is within us and that we are within, translated out of the powers of darkness into this indestructible, everlasting, eternal kingdom. That's why we have eternal life today. And it's all based on the living hope we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is an indestructible, eternal kingdom. And it is also undefiled. Second word that Peter used to describe the inheritance of the saints as a result of the resurrection is the word undefiled, like the previous word. It's also used frequently in reference to the kingdom of Israel in the Old Testament. We repeatedly read that Israel defiled the land when they adopted customs of gods and nations other than the Lord God, their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, acting abominably in the sight of God. Let me read one of the many texts that illustrate this. God said, through Ezekiel, "Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds to make their way like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity," in Ezekiel 36:17. And it was because of this defilement that the kingdom of Israel was ultimately destroyed at that time. But Peter says, this kingdom, as a result of this new covenant, as a result of Jesus' resurrection from the dead and what the new covenant has accomplished in our behalf when it was established at the cross. Hallelujah. Peter says this kingdom will never be defiled. It will never grow corrupt so that God's wrath burns against it so he destroys it. It will never happen. We have not been appointed to wrath, oh, hallelujah, but to obtain salvation. The Bible said it's reserved for us in the last time when Jesus comes, when Jesus appears, hallelujah. We don't have to fear the judgment to come, the wrath of God. "Unto them that look, he shall appear the second time without sin," the scripture declares. In other words, he's not coming to judge the world for sin. He will do that when he comes during the tribulation, nearing the end of the tribulation. But right now, he's coming, and that coming, for those that look, I call it the secret coming because it's not the second coming. It is a coming between his first advent, him coming to lay in a manger but not stay in the manger, and so he could go to the cross, and this coming that to culminate the end of all things and to take up his earthly right to rule and to reign forever, and we rule and reign with Him in that second coming. But there's a secret coming in between called the rapture of the church, the coming for His children and His saints. Because we are in this everlasting kingdom, the wrath of God will not be kindled against us, though we are imperfect. We are not perfect, but we're perfectly saved by the blood of Jesus, perfectly kept by the power of God. If we keep the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Praise God. And honey, I want you to know I've never been more committed to keep my confidence in Jesus Christ now more than ever. Every foundation of man that man has built his hope on has been shaken like the mighty earthquakes caused as this old planet groans. Sometimes I believe earthquakes are a result when it says the whole world groaneth for the manifestation of the sons of God. I believe the evil, the sin, the suffering, the terrible heartache and heartbreak that is known around the world day in and day out causes an actual groaning in nature. And it could be, and I'm speculating here, but it could be why sometimes the earth trembles and sometimes the earth shakes in that groaning, because it longs for the coming of Jesus and the establishment of His righteous kingdom. But until He comes, His kingdom that has come within us when the King comes in us is undefiled. Praise God. Listen. And then it is everlasting. It is an everlasting kingdom, unfading. The third word that Peter uses to describe our inheritance as this kingdom of God because of the resurrection is unfading. It's used later in chapter 1 and verse 24 where he speaks about the fading of the flower. In the Old Testament, God described the northern kingdom of Israel as a flower that was fading. We read this in Isaiah 28, 1 through 4, where the glorious beauty of Samaria is compared to a fading flower. We can almost see that occurring in our nation today. America is not what she once was. Someone put it well, America's great because America's good. And if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Thank God for the appearance of spiritual revival in the X generation of all generation, the one that's been X'd out, that said this is the last and this is the fading one. And yet there are pockets of revival from the East Coast to the West Coast. I'm praying for that revival to spread, that we might see a last day in gathering of souls just before the coming of Jesus Christ. Samaria here, you know, was the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. When Isaiah spoke those words, the northern kingdom of Israel was on the verge of dying out, never to be rebuilt. In a short time, God would exercise His wrath upon her for her sins. The Assyrians would come and take the people captive and fill the northern kingdom with foreigners. The 10 northern tribes of Israel would lose their homeland, and it would never be restored to them. That's what he was saying in that context. We often speak of the 10 northern tribes of Israel as the lost tribes of Israel. Do you see what Peter is giving us in terms of the hope as a result of the resurrection and the ability of every child of God to be brought into this everlasting, unfading kingdom of God? They are strangers in this world. They are aliens residing temporarily in it. They don't belong to this world. They have no citizenship in it. But Peter says, but look what you do have. You are born again as an heir of the kingdom of God. Do you have on any shouting shoes this morning? This everlasting kingdom we have been translated into, and we have been begotten into, born again into this kingdom, not this world, this kingdom that is like a fading flower. Earthly kingdoms flourish for a time. Like a blossom, they reach their pinnacle of power and splendor. But with power and prosperity comes corruption and decay. I want an amen in this audience. We're seeing it in our nation today. Their wickedness makes them weak, for God frustrates all their endeavors and visits them with His judgments. So these mighty kingdoms fade away. The Assyrians grew to be a world power, but their kingdom waned and gave way to the kingdom of Babylon. Babylon in turn gave way to the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Medo-Persians gave way to the kingdom of Greece, and Greece to Rome. Earthly kingdoms come and they go, one following the other, but in the end none of them remain standing. Oh, friend, but Peter says to these Christians, this is not so with the kingdom that you belong to. It will come in perfect power and splendor. It will be a glorious kingdom. It will be a kingdom that is free from all the powers of evil that bring decay. It'll be a kingdom of righteousness. It will never be defiled. It will never come under the wrath of God. So it will never fade in splendor, in glory, or in majesty. It will be like a flower that forever remains in full bloom. Hallelujah. When the scripture says we're not appointed to wrath, it's not only talking about the tribulations that shall come upon all the inhabitants of the earth that are not saved. It's talking about the kingdom of God that we have been brought into, and the kingdom of God that is now in every one of us. Now this glorious inheritance, says Peter, is reserved for the Christians in Asia. They were under the attack. They were under persecution. They were under pressure. But this very word, it meant to guard, reserve, meant to guard, to keep, to watch over, something with an eye to protecting and preserving. A young lad who intends to jump into the creek might have give his friends, his watch to a friend and say, would you hold on to this for me? He doesn't want to put it on the grass because he might forget it, or someone might step on it, or someone might steal it. So he entrusts it to his friend for safekeeping. My brother and my sister, today we have a friend that our safekeeping of our very soul has been entrusted to. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he ever lives to make intercession for you and make intercession for me. Glory be to God for this holy kingdom that we have inherited. Amen. And that we therefore are going to inherit. Praise God. Amen. Friend of mine, I want you to know today, this Resurrection Sunday, that there is nothing that can shake the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We have a hope that the world does not have. They're losing hope consistently. Hearts failing them for fear. Looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. This statement in Scripture is when the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And when shall these things be? And he said, there shall be earthquakes. Many different places, the sea and the waves will be roaring. I see that as the tidal waves resulting from earthquakes at sea. But I also see it from the sea of humanity. There is this roaring, this unrest, this absolute shaking of every single nation in the world. Because the Bible speaks of the Antichrist and the false prophet coming out of the sea, not the ocean, not the waters, but the nations of the world. And the Bible says this about the unsaved. the wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. In other words, the storm on the surface is so strong that it's affecting the very depths and the deepest places of the ocean or the sea. That is what is occurring right now. There is no safe place on planet Earth. And men's hearts beginning to be affected and infected by this foreboding, bleak future that looks so uncertain. People grasping for straws of hope here and there, and ultimately it's all failing them. That's why this unchangeable kingdom is so important to us being able to stand in these last days that we are living in. Oh, friend of mine, we have hope today. We have hope today. This is a true story. A little over a month before he died, the famous atheist Jean-Paul Sartre declared that he so strongly resisted feelings of despair that he would say to himself, "I know I shall die in hope." Then in profound sadness, he would add, "But hope needs a foundation." Hope needs a foundation. There has to be something that we build and base our hope upon. And our hope is based on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand, 'cause all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love this true story also. During the 30-year war in the 17th century, German pastor Paul Gerhardt and his family were forced to flee from their home. One night as they stayed in a small village inn, homeless and afraid, his wife broke down and cried openly in despair. To comfort her, Gerhardt reminded her of scriptural promises about God's provision and keeping. Then going out to the garden to be alone, he too broke down and wept. He felt he'd come to his darkest hour. Soon afterward, Gerhardt felt the burden lifted and sensed anew the Lord's presence. Taking his pen, he wrote a hymn that has brought comfort to many. It's an ancient hymn, an old hymn. Listen to one verse of it. "Give to the winds thy fears. Hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Though waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou on his time. So shall the night soon end in joyous day." Hallelujah. Dear friend, it's often in our darkest times that God makes his presence known most clearly. He uses sufferings and troubles to show us that he is our only source of strength. And when we see this truth and act on it, like Pastor Gerhardt, we receive a fresh anointing of hope. Hallelujah. Are you facing a great trial today? Take heart. Put yourself in God's hands. Wait for his timing, and he will give you assuredly a song in the night. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost, according to the Word of God. There was a laboratory experiment, and this is a true story. A number of years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see the effect hope has on those undergoing hardship. Two sets of laboratory rats were placed in separate tubs of water. The researchers left the one set in the water and found that within an hour, they had given up and began to drown. The other rats were periodically lifted out of the water and then returned. What then happened? The second set of rats swam for over 24 hours. Why? Not because they were given a rest, but because they were given hope. If we can stay afloat a little while longer, somebody's going to lift me out. Amen. These animals somehow hoped that if they could stay afloat just a little longer, someone would reach down and rescue them. If hope holds such power for unthinking rodents, how much greater should its effect be on you and me, my dear Christian brother, my dear Christian sister today? Jesus has been raised from the dead so that we would have a living hope because of His resurrection and the kingdom that we are now in and that is now in us because He went to the cross and He was raised for our justification. We are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ because we are kept by the power of God, through the person of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. We are kept by the power of God until that day when the trumpet sounds and Jesus descends from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. Hallelujah. When He comes in the secret coming for His bride, for His church, for the redeemed today. I've never been more glad to be a Christian than I am this Resurrection Sunday. In times like these, we're on a strong foundation. The foundation of our hope is the Holy Son of God that ever lives to make intercession, ever lives to be with us and to never leave us nor forsake us, ever lives to demonstrate to us that He has conquered death. Death is swallowed up, therefore, in victory. Hallelujah. And whoever believes in Him, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me, he will never die. He walked from that statement to the tomb of Lazarus, and He called him forth, and this man rose from the dead, amen, and came out of that tomb. Oh, dear friend of mine, we have been quickened, raised from the dead, given life, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We have been translated out of the powers of darkness, the kingdom therefore of darkness, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Therefore we're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Oh, there's victory in Jesus. Don't look back. And for heaven's sake, literally, don't turn back. Hope thou in God, as the psalmist David said, He will yet be the health of thy countenance. I put it this way, He'll turn that frown upside down. We should be the most hopeful people on the planet because our hope is based squarely upon the resurrection of Jesus who was raised for our justification. Hallelujah. Today, take hope. Take courage. Hold on. As the song said, just a little while longer. Hold on. Hold on. Jesus is coming very soon. But until He comes to take us to heaven, He comes to be with us here and to never leave us until we're safe home with Him. Here's what He wants to do. He wants to save us. And He has, if you've accepted Him as your Savior, keep your faith in Him. He wants to seal us with the Holy Spirit, mark us as His own, while upon the earth we become citizens of heaven. And He wants to keep us safe from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. What a wonderful blessing we have when we have Jesus. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. When it speaks of the wicked, it's speaking of we who have sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God wants to save you today. On this Resurrection Sunday, maybe this season of Easter resurrection, maybe it's brought you to our website. Maybe it's quickened something of faith within you. Maybe you were raised in a home where there was faith. The faith of the gospel was demonstrated to you, but you went your own way when you got out from under those influences. But something, literally someone, is calling you back, calling you back. Come home. Come home to Him today. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and receive this peace and this hope that only Christ can give and only God can offer you. But He offers it in abundance today. Today, if you don't know Christ, you may have grew up in an atheistic home. You may have grew up in a Satanist home. I don't know. You may have grown up in terrible circumstances. But today, something deep, deep, deep within you has been sparked, has been kindled. A light has been kindled in the midst of this terrible darkness. And you're searching for hope, and you see there's none in this old world, that man can't offer it. It can't be bought on the market. It can't be brought by any drug, any synthetic chemical. Oh, today, turn away from those empty things that only hurt you more. Turn to God. Come to Christ today. Let Him prove to you that He is alive by saving your soul and coming to live within you, by translating you out of the influence of darkness into this kingdom of light, kingdom of life, kingdom of joy, and kingdom of peace. Call on Him right where you are. Lord Jesus Christ, I've sinned against You. I repent of my sin. I need a Savior, and I'm coming to You right now. I'm trusting in You for my life here and my soul's safekeeping after this life is over. In fact, I'm running to You, for I need this hope. I'm desperate for it. I don't want to take my life. I don't want my life to be so bleak and so dark and so hopeless that I drown out this hopelessness, try to drown it in drink and try to drown it in drugs and try to drown it in every kind of sensual sin that I can find to desensitize me. Oh, there is no real comfortably numb. There's only numb. A sense of what's the point of living. Jimi Hendrix wrote a song, and I was really into that psychedelic rock before I got saved. He wrote a song that typified where he was in life. He joined that 27 club that so many young artists, particularly in the music world and even in the film world, have died way before their time because of drugs and alcohol, therefore because of hopelessness. And here's the lyric. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. Here's the plea. Won't somebody rescue me? I don't live today. And the chorus and the driving beat and the guitar kicks in. I don't live today. I don't live today. Maybe tomorrow. I just can't say. Friend of mine, you can live today, and you can say it loud. Jesus has saved my soul. Hallelujah. He sealed me with the Holy Spirit, and I'm safe from the wrath to come in Jesus' name.